Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us, and welcome to the Classic Series Redrive. Check them up. Let's get started.
Welcome into episode 94 of the Classic Series Redrive. Mark Hostetler in Burlington, Michigan. Logan Reinhold on the soundboard in Waterloo, Indiana at the Reinhold Tack and Western Wear Studio. And Kyle Forsyth from Manan, Idaho from the Tack Room in the Barn. How's everything in Burlington, Michigan, Mark?
Pretty good. Yeah, it's definitely spring here. Everything's greening up and guys are planting like crazy. And we've had some rain, but not like, you know, downpours. So they've been out of the fields, you know, maybe a day, then back in for a day and a half. Then we get some rain again. But no, it's been good. But the rest of the week, I think we're supposed to be getting some rain again. It'll probably slow them down a little bit. But no, spring and summer is definitely here, and summer just around the corner. How about in Idaho?
Yeah, I would say quite a few fields planted around here. It's still been cool enough. We haven't had like that consistent 70 degree days for, you know, day after day after day. It's been the odd day of it, but there's been some days in the 40s and 50s too. And it looks like the week-long forecast by the end of this week, we're supposed to be like 75 and sunny for the following week, and even up into the 80s a couple days the week of Grand Junction. So it looks like warm weather's on upon us. I spent the weekend, we got our yard kind of cleaned up and cut some grass and fertilized and got my sprinkler system kind of cranking. And so yeah, it's definitely spring. And speaking of Grand Junction, Colorado, Western States Classic, May 17th to 19th in Grand Junction, Colorado. If you're in the area, I don't know of a more beautiful spot to go show horses or go watch a horse show. Kind of sets right in along the river. There's mountains. There's, I mean, it's beautiful. Weather's always seems to be kind of just right spot on that time of year there. And yeah, it's definitely worthwhile. I know the Clark family and Enos and that group, they put a lot of time and effort into it, and it's turned into a really nice event.
Yeah. You say it is a beautiful setting there. It's in the Palisades, right? You said?
I think so. I don't know exactly what mountains they are, to be honest with you. But, I mean, the Clarks always have a dinner there. They have a kind of like a facility that they host weddings and stuff, and it sits right on the Colorado River. And of course they have a peach orchard, orchards, and that's kind of that area. It sits kind of in a valley and along the river. And like I say, yeah, there's just, it's kind of like the red rock kind of mountains. Like it's really pretty. It's a beautiful spot to go. That's for sure. So that's about it for upcoming shows, I believe. Mark, what's new with the Classic Series?
Just kind of same old.
I got my email, the Hall of Fame voting.
Yeah. That closes the 11th. That will close. So make sure you guys get online and get your votes submitted for that. And, also just a reminder on the youth scholarship, those applications will close on June 15th. So that's coming up in about another month. The youth scholarship applications will be closing. And also keep an eye on your email as far as more Classic Series stuff. The membership awards are going to be coming out soon, while nominations for membership awards. So I believe this is the third year for that we've been having membership awards as far as best drivers and best shot and sportsmanship and just some extra recognition to some of our members. So that's kind of what we got going on right now. Just a bunch of deadlines. I guess that's about it. But it's not going to be much longer, Kyle. And, you know, like you said, Grand Junction's coming up. And as soon as you turn the calendar to June, the show in Iowa and Wilmington and, you know, just a whole bunch of them are going to start in June and July and into August. And we'll get rolling. That's for sure. It's not that far away.
Yeah, it's I don't know about you, but this seems like the busiest time of year. You're training horses and getting things kind of ready, and you had a little bit of a break after the winter show circuit and kind of regroup and rebuild and retool and all that type of stuff. And then it seems like the kids, they're getting close to the end of the school year, so there's field trips and all kinds of things. And I know our two oldest girls are playing softball, and holy crap, that's 5 nights a week. It seems like like a full-time job. Just I think we've wore out 2 sets of tires this spring just going back and forth to town. But
yeah, we Tyler, he'll start playing his baseball the 1st of June, the month of June he'll be playing.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, his practice is going to be coming up here the end of the month. He's got a couple practices, and he's all excited all day long. All he wants me to do is pitch to him because he doesn't want to hit off a tee. And they said if he can, you know, if the kids can hit a ball pitching, they don't have to hit off a tee. So he's all excited, and he's practicing like crazy because he's determined not to hit off a tee. So it's like, I got to work here. Let's wait till this evening, and I'll pitch to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I think my shoulders, it's about as – of course – with girls, it's the fast pitch deal. So you can't just, I mean, I just grew up throwing baseball. That's easy peasy. But with the softball, it's like the windmill deal. And of course, I'm not coordinated throwing windmill, but I sure try hard to replicate what a 10-year-old pitcher can do. Most of the time, unsuccessfully. I beaned Hadley the other day. She's got a bruise. She was stepping up a little close to the plate, so I thought I'd throw one inside and get her off it.
Did it work?
Yeah. I'm only kidding. It wasn't on purpose.
Oh, man. Oh, good stuff. Yeah. This episode's kind of cool. We talked with Thomas Duffy. Has some Belgians up in Wisconsin. Pretty cool story.
Yeah, Avoidance Acres, Tom Duffy, just super guy. Very intelligent. And most people, if you've been around that Madison area, it's worth giving Tom a call. He's got a beautiful spot there. And I met Tom a year ago, I guess. I've known him, I know of him, but really didn't get to really know him till in the past year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever it's been. And yeah, he's just a real fun guy. Just super fun.
Yeah, he is funny. I got to know him. I met him last summer and talked with him over the phone, and a couple times saw him at sales. He was at the Great Lakes show last fall and chatted with him, and yeah, he's hilarious. He's a good guy, that's for sure. A
lot of life experience there, and he's been through a lot, and we touched on some of that. You know, just the story of him getting into the Belgians is unreal.
I think that's about it. That's about all I got. And enjoy episode 95. And
yeah, 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and like and subscribe to it. Reinhold Tack and Western Wear spring lineup. Check out any of the merchandise on the website.
Yeah. Check out merchandise on the Classic Series website and Logan's store there, the Reinhold, westernwear.com. He's got a store pull, that's for sure.
Spark Plug Coffee. Just the usual stuff.
Just the usual stuff. I mean, we keep hammering this stuff all the time, and probably people start tuning out, but it never hurts to remind people, I guess. But anyway. All right, and guys, enjoy episode number, what is this, 94?
94.
Yeah, 94. Yeah, we're coming up to 100 here. We're going to have some fun stuff going on for episode 100, so stay tuned for that, and see you guys down the road.
Penwoods Equine Products is a family-owned and operated business that strives to support the growth, performance, and longevity of your equine family with our premium nutrition supplements. We make all of our products with locally sourced ingredients right here in the USA, so you can always be sure you're getting the highest quality. We've always been horse people. Our products were developed to take care of our own horses, and we continue to back our supplements with real-world horse owner experience. We're proud of the results, and we love sharing our generations of equine knowledge to help meet all of your horse's needs. We want to get to know you and your horses, and we're here to help with any questions you have. So reach out to us. You're part of the Penwoods family. You can visit us at penwoods.com, email us at info@penwoods.com, or follow us on social media.
We're joined today by Mr. Tom Duffy, the Voidance Acre Belgians. What's your town, Tom? I know it's not just right outside of Madison, but...
Yeah, we consider ourselves from McFarland because that's where I was raised and born. Then we moved to this farm about 2 miles into Cottage Grove. So our mailing address is Cottage Grove. Our school district is still McFarland. So we're McFarland.
You're in the suburbs of the great Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes, exactly.
How many acres you got there? Just a little farm or you got quite a bit of acreage?
So we have 40 acres here and we make our own hay and then we lease 20 acres. Also, then our other farm is about 14 acres.
You have anything else besides horses or any other livestock?
No, just the horses. I mean, years and years ago, I raised German Shepherds for police work. It was all in Schützen practice, but I don't have any dogs right now, but just the horses and some barn cats.
Yep.
So you're... business, you got out of high school and you started a heating, is it an industrial heating cooling business? Was that right?
Yeah. So I had a lawn mowing business when I was like 12 and I got called when I was 14 to mow the grass and clean a sheet metal shop and basically never left. I graduated from UW-Madison in 89 and went back to that same company and they had some issues and a buddy of mine there we met and we started our own company back about 95. And we do commercial and industrial HVAC and refrigeration. So a lot of grocery stores, the big thing back then was cellular phones were just coming and they needed lots of air conditioning. So we did air conditioning on these little huts along the interstate all through the Midwest and their big switches for years.
So when you went to university, what was your...
So they have a construction administration program through their engineering program. So it's basically half business and half engineering in the construction industry. To run a construction business or to run construction jobs, that's what it was. And I graduated from there in 89. And I just stayed with most people go out and work with general contractors. But I was in the HVAC business as a kid, and I just stayed with it then.
So you sold your own personal vehicle, didn't you? Bought a service van?
Yep, exactly. My business partner, he had to sell his fire. We bought two service vans and then I had a pickup truck and away we went. You know, we had a very good accountant. You know, he just told us the secret to wealth is have no debt. So we tried to pay for everything as we went and we did that. And we're aggressive billers. We put our invoices out weekly. And so that was his other little bit of advice. Being busy is one thing and being profitable is another. So we followed those rules and it worked out.
So how long did you have the business until you started adding employees and all that? How long into the business years were you there? 2-3 years or?
Yeah. So we started that up. And we brought a couple of good guys with us that worked there and it just started growing over time. So basically, I don't remember the exact date. It was like 94 or so we started the company and then we just sold it in 2018. Unfortunately, my business partner passed away in 2010 of a heart attack. So that was a real bummer, especially after 08 and 09 with the recession. And I just said I wasn't going to go through another recession again. So things worked out. I got another partner in and we ended up selling in 18. And so now I am an employee. I'm a terrible employee, but they keep me around.
Yeah. Your life kind of took a bit of a turn and that's kind of how Voidance Acres started. give us a rundown on that story. This is
Lord. Yeah, well, how that came about was back to the company. My partner, when he was still alive, he went down to this egg plant, and they produce, you know, they had 2-3 million chickens, and they do liquid egg, and they had a lot of issues with humidity and refrigeration. And Jeff met with him, and then Jeff came back. He goes, "You should go to this egg plant and meet this whippersnapper down there. He needs help." So I went down there, met with a guy named Keith Kulo. He was a general manager for Daybreak Foods, and we met. We went in his office, and he had a picture of a horse on the wall. I go, "What the hell's that?" He goes, "It's a horse." I'm like, "No shit. What kind?" It was. He goes, "That's a Belgian draft horse." I'm like, "What's a Belgian draft horse?" And so I became good friends with Keith, and I went to a couple of wagon rides with him at like an apple orchard. And then actually about 14, 15 years ago this week, there's a Midwest horse fair here in town, and he was doing an exhibition with his draft horses in a big hitch wagon that Dean Reichert built for him. And I rode on that wagon in the Coliseum here in town. And, you know, and I really enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun, but I was petrified of these horses. You know, I wasn't getting near them. I didn't pet them. I didn't walk next to them. I didn't do anything, you know? And so, and actually at the Midwest Horse Fair, Keith goes, "Run down." I hit all the horses cross-tight, and the Reicherts were there with their Pertrons, and Pam and Gary Druick were there with their Belgians, and they had them cross-tight. And Keith goes, "Run down to this stall and get me a lead rope." I'm like, "What's a lead rope?" He goes, "A dog leash, you idiot." So I look down that aisle. I'm like, "I am not walking by them horses." So I go out the barn in a side door, and I was two stalls away from the tack room. I climbed up and over these stalls, got these stupid, you know, dog leashes, came back. He goes, "What took so long?" I go, "Wasn't walking by these horses." And half an hour later, he needed a whip. He goes, "It's back in that tack room." I go, "The hell it is." I went out to a vendor. I bought him 6 lead ropes and 6 whips, and I put them everywhere.
So that was my introduction.
I would not even walk. That was in 2010, I bet. And then I became a little bit more comfortable with them, and we toyed with. I bought a farm, actually. It was an Arab. They had stalls and indoor arena and everything. And Keith stopped over. He goes, "What the hell? You're getting horses." I go, "I'm not getting horses. I have ATVs, snowmobiles, boats, a 45-foot bus. I had a lot of fun and a lot of money." Well, now I got rid of all those, and I have horses, a lot of fun, and no money. But it worked out. He says, "You got to get horses." So we kind of toyed with it. I'm looking online to buy horses, and I found these two beautiful Belgian mares up in Minnesota. So I sent Keith the average. This is 2012. You know, horses were $800 and a bale of hay was $10. You know, it was the market was flipped then. And Keith goes, "These are mares. We're not getting mares. You know, no way are we getting any mares." And I said, "Well, just call the guy. I don't know what I'm even asking for." So he calls this guy in Lamberton, Minnesota, Todd Knorr. And he talked to him. He goes, "You got any geldings?" So he sends Keith a picture of this yearling gelding. It was almost 18 hands. And Keith goes, "Go get that one, you know, not these mares." So I kind of talked to Todd. You know, I had no idea what I'm talking about. I mean, I did, you know, I just knew the color of them. You know, I didn't have anything. So in the middle of talking to him, and we were kind of negotiating on price, and I was almost going to pull the trigger, and I had a little bump on my hand, and I went and got it x-ray, and they go, "Oh, you have a cyst on your finger. We'll remove that cyst." I come back to get my stitches out, and it turns there. I walk into this doctor's office, and there's like 8 people sitting in this room. I'm like, "Whoa." They go, "Mr. Duffy, that was not a cyst. It was a tumor, and it wasn't benign, and it's cancer, and it's super aggressive, and you got to amputate your finger, and you should do it tomorrow, but we've never treated it. We don't know what to do with you." And I'm like, "Whoa." I go, "I'm going to go back out the door and get another cup of coffee and come back, and you guys have a different story to tell me." You know, it's life-altering, actually. And so I called up Todd Knorr, and I said, "Hey, I cannot buy a horse. Like, you know, I mean, my life just got knocked off the rails here." So turns out they would not treat me at UW-Madison, Wisconsin. You're going to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and you're going tomorrow. So my brother Matt, or I had to go next week. That was it. I had to go a week later, and I looked on a map and I saw where Lamberton, Minnesota was. It was just past Rochester, Minnesota, where these horses were. So my brother, Matt, who did the farm reports, goes, hey, I'll go with you to your appointment. I said, all right, we got to leave Tuesday at 6 a.m. We get in the truck. We take off. He goes, what time's your appointment? I said, well, it's tomorrow at 7 a.m. He goes, well, why are we leaving so early? I said, oh, I got some business to do just west of Rochester.
Plan ahead for the Young Living Fall Festival and Draft Horse Show at the Young Living Lavender Farm and Distillery in Mona, Utah, September 26th through the 28th. For both locals and visitors, this is a family-friendly way to settle into the fall season. These 3 days offer nonstop fun from jousting and pony rides to concerts and two PRCA rodeos. As you tour the farm, you'll also get an insider's look at the seed-to-seal quality commitment that set Young Living apart and guarantees the premium essential oil Young Living is known for. The Festival Draft Horse Show will host 18 of the top hitches around the country, driven by expert teamsters. These gentle giants will demand your attention with power and pure majesty. There's so much to do and see at the Fall Festival and Draft Horse Show, so come explore, discover, and make some memories with your family.
Well, we pull into Lamberton, Minnesota. This little town is 8x8 blocks, and it's a grain town. These trucks were lined. This is October. We're just lined up bringing in corn and beans and everything. Well, we find the Norse, and my brother goes, what are we doing? I said, we're looking at Belgian draft horses. He goes, what's a Belgian draft horse? And so we meet Todd, and I'm sure Todd's like, who is Dumb and Dumber? You know, we get the horses out, and I don't know what I'm looking at. I call up Keith, and Keith's asking, he'll ask him how the hocks are. And I said, how are the hocks? My brother Matt goes, no, they got pulled pork down there. They didn't have pork hocks. We had no idea. Todd's like, oh, my God. You know, went back and forth. Yeah. And, you know, and I just tell Todd, I go, hey, I'm going to Mayo Clinic tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, and Todd says, hey, look, if you buy these three horses, two of them are mares, we'll throw in this other horse. Just what I need is four horses, right? So we get to Mayo Clinic, and I told him, no, I'm not going to buy the horses, but I'm here. I needed something, you know, to relax my mind. You know, going to the Mayo Clinic is very intimidating. So sure enough, they have to operate immediately. And it's some crazy cancer, and it's very aggressive, and chemotherapy doesn't touch it. Radiation doesn't touch it. They amputate. And they go, we are amputating today. And I'm like, oh my Lord. So they're wheeling me into the operating room. I said, give me my phone. 6 a.m. And my brother's there and my sister's there. And I called up Mr. Norr. I said, Todd, I'll take them. And they don't know who I'm talking to. My brother, it's just, he goes, what are you taking? I said, I'm taking all four of them. And Todd starts talking me out of it. I said, Todd, I want to wake up knowing I have four horses, you know, something to look forward to. And I hang up the phone. My sister goes, what did you just do? I said, I bought four horses. She blew a gasket. What the hell are you doing? She goes, you're avoiding the big picture. You're avoiding the rehab. You know, you're avoiding. I had to have a drain port put in because then the cancer spread to my lymph nodes and it actually got worse. But they got it and it's out of there. It's 12 years ago. And she's screaming at me, you're avoiding the big picture and avoiding all the work it's going to take. And I said, hence avoidance acres. And they wheeled me away and that stuck. We've called it avoidance. So we avoid deadlines, commitments, and good decisions. That's our motto.
What was your motto again? Say that again.
We avoid deadlines, commitments, and good decisions.
So you amputated your finger and it's all good now? It never did spread?
Yeah, so it did spread to my lymph nodes. So back then, there was 32 people. I was the 32nd person that they knew of that had it. Mayo Clinic treated 6 of them, so I was the 7th. And 14 people didn't amputate and 11 died. So it's not negotiable. They're amputating. And then they had to do a sentinel node biopsy. They put these shots in the back of your hand and they watch this chemical or nuclear radioactive whatever, and it lit up in my armpit and my elbow. So they biopsied that and it did move. So I had to go back in and have all my lymph nodes removed from my right arm. And it hasn't spread ever since. So every year Mayo Clinic calls me and they're happy I answer the phone, and it's oh my. And so far so good. Yeah. And so I wear a compression sleeve on my right arm all the time when I'm in the sun. you're not supposed to have any impact, sunburn, mosquito bites, scratches, cuts. So people always ask me why I have a sleeve on. I tell them it's to cover my tattoos or something. You know? You know? But yeah, so we're all good. Yeah. And I was, you know, doing MRIs and colonoscopies and CTs 4 times a year for 5 years because they wanted to see if it would pop up again or not. And it did not. So that was good.
So you basically were from Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, McFarland, Wisconsin. You have the Houstons, Mark Houston, Dale Houston. You have Nelson Schrock, Joe Detweiler, all within like 10 miles of you. You didn't know these guys before you
bought them? I did not know one of them. I did not know them. I knew the Houston name, obviously, because they're a big contractor here. Right. So that's another good story of how I met Joe. So I got back and my family took me out for a fish fry. It's a big Wisconsin thing. And I was at a restaurant and the bartender, so I was all bandaged up and you know all the stuff. And he asked what was going on. There's another guy in the bar that just got done battling his fourth different type of cancer. So he goes, you should meet this guy. His name is Nelson Sunby, which is interesting. He comes up and we start talking about cancer and survival and getting your mindset right. And he goes, you got to look to the future. You got to get something that you got to wake up for. And I said, well, I already did that. He goes, what did you do? I said, I bought 4 Belgian draft horses. He goes, well, that's a little extreme. And he said, if you're buying draft horses, you got to meet my neighbor. Right across the road from his farm is Joe and Bonnie Detweiler. And I said, who's Joe Detweiler? And he gave me his name and number right on the spot. And then I heard Joe's name from 2 other people, and I called him. And his boys at that time were probably 10 and 8. And I talked to Joe, and I told him I don't know shit about these horses. I told him to straight talk me, and we met. We became good friends ever since then. I was on a river, that farm. And he would bring the boys to trim horses, and one boy would run to the river, the other one would run to the lagoon fishing. And so I watched these kids grow up, and Freeman worked for us when he was in high school before he had his license, and now he's driving our hitch for us. So it's been a great, great friendship with those guys and family ties. And so, yeah, so I met Joe, and it wasn't until Kathy and I went up to the Clydesdale World Show when it was in London. We decided to go to a world show that we didn't have horses, didn't really know many people. And then I met Nelson up there. And Gary Nabradol and Annie Houston. And so that's where I met all these people. It was actually at a Clyde's World Show.
So you drove to London, Ontario to meet your neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. That was something else. Yeah. That was interesting. And so, yeah, I'm right in between all 3 of those farms, Mark Houston, Nelson Schrock, and Joe and Bonnie. Literally, they're all 5 miles away.
Right in the hotbed.
Yeah, we are in the hotbed.
So. Which that actually probably helped change your Belgian, like your goals and your horse operation. Obviously, you had great people to kind of lean on to help.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, from meeting Joe, and he goes, well, what's your goal here? I said, we haven't figured out yet. You know, I didn't know if I didn't own a harness. I didn't have a wagon, but I got 4 Belgians, you know. And, of course, Joe goes, well, you got to call this guy in Shipshawana. I go, Shipsha what? You know, and so call up his harness, Bob. So, you know, I called up Bob Schrock. I don't know him from Adam. Shipshawana Bob in my phone. And I tell him who I am. I'm new to the industry. And he goes, how'd you get my name and number? I said, Joe Detweiler. Bob goes, this is 12 years ago. God, if I could have a dollar for every person Joe referred to me. Well, 12 years later, you have $1 million for every person Joe Detweiler referred
to. Just from the one guy, yeah?
Yeah. Well, now we call him Amazon Bob because, you know, Freeman Detweiler's ordering stuff all the time, and it's here the next day, and I get the bill for it. So, yeah, Bob's done wonders for our farm and obviously this entire industry. You know, he's really given back to this industry, what I've seen in 12 years. So yeah, so that Bob helped out. And then there's a guy up here who just recently passed away, Dick Savosky. So I heard when I bought horses, I heard his name 2 or 3 times and Joe's, and Dick was a harness maker up here. So not only did he make our work harness and our show harness, but he taught us how to drive. He built our practice wagon. He got us convinced to do the circus parade with six horses. I mean, Dick Savosky spent a lot of time with our team and in his 80s and 90s teaching us how to handle horses and drive them in life. You know, he's a very good guy.
So how did your horse operation evolve? Like, where are you at now, Tom? I started with the four. Were they kind of the foundation for? You still have some of those or?
Yeah, so we started with the four. The oldest one was 3, 2, a yearling, and a weanling, basically. And only thing greener than those four horses was me and all of our crew. You know, we really didn't have a clue. But then Joe Detweiler had a filly of yearling, and we ended up buying her right away, too. So we ended up with five horses within the first year. And now I think we're up to 14. Two of those original four are still here and they're in the hitch. One of the mares, both of the mares we bred to Thunder Branch Prince. You know, we deferred to Joe on who to breed to. And we have one of those geldings are still in our hitch. We sold the other one. Both these were, 18 plus hand geldings. And then the mare we got from Joe, Joe and I had a good deal. I was going to buy the mare from him for $2,000. When she's three, we were going to get her fit and ready and sell her. You know, I'd give her back to Joe. Well, we put that mare in our six horse hitch as a 2-year-old. And that's another good story. Our swing horses were two. Well, that mare just had her seventh foal here. And we have two of her offspring are in the hitch. And so we're up to 14 horses and half of them are out of Joe's mare. And we kept the one gelding. And now we have four mares in foal for next year. So it's, most people either halter or hitch or breed. Well, we do all three because we don't have a clue what we're doing, but we have a lot of we're growing and we try to sell a couple every year also. So we've been very fortunate to do that. We have one horses up in Canada, one's in Ohio, and a couple locally are right around here. So it's gone well.
Summit Professional Services, a marketing team that specializes in all things equine. The Summit team is a full-service media and designing firm that offers the absolute top quality and design to the equine industry. The Summit team is excited to announce their new and upcoming website that will allow you to view, purchase, and download photos and videos all from the tip of your fingers. Interested in promoting your farm or getting an on-farm shoot of your horses or products? Now is the perfect time to do so. Be sure to look them up. They're on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Call Summit Professional Services 260-702-9929 or email them at summitproservices@gmail.com. Once again, their phone number 260-702-9929 or email summitproservices@gmail.com.
So, like, who would you have bred to this year, your four mares?
So we bred last year. So we had a Ricky J mare out of Joe's Thunder Branch mare, and she just had her first foal out of Whiskey, SR Whiskey. So we bred her back to Whiskey. We have a Deals Stonecrest Bentley filly. She's a 3-year-old. We have her in foal to Whiskey. We have a Dream 4-year-old in full to Bentley, Deals Stonecrest Bentley. Then we just bred Robin back. So the first two we got out of her were Ricky J. The first one we got out of her was Deals Dakota, actually. So our first horses, three of them were out of Deals Dakota. So we bred Joe's horse to Deals Dakota that I got. And we got a gelding out of him. The next two were Ricky J. And the next four were Bentley, and this we just bred her now to Jason, that Herman Miller's stallion.
Oh yeah,
yeah, Jason. So we wanted to try something different. So we have a couple of Whiskeys coming, and a Bentley and a Jason.
Yeah, and you've mentioned Freeman. How long's Freeman worked for you now, Freeman Detweiler?
Yeah, so when he was 13, 14, 15, he was coming over and helping us and going on the road. And then last year he worked for us full time, and then this year. So this will be his second year, and his dad's teaching him to trim horses now. And And then he comes over every morning. We get the horses fed and ready to go. And then like this morning, we drove four teams and barns done. And by 11 o'clock, 10 or 11 o'clock, we're done. Mm-hmm. And it works out great. And then Freeman owns a flooring business. So then he runs and does his flooring.
That was kind of your stipulation when he was going to work for you, right?
Yep. All those kids that came through here, I told them, you got to go start your own company. You know, it's risky. It's all that. And Freeman did it. Cade Spildy, he's getting his master plumbing license. He's probably going to do the same thing. Luke Spildy's doing that. So, yeah. So Freeman does have his own company. It's fun to watch him grow up. I don't have any kids myself. So it's my horses, Freeman. And then when I did bring horses home in 2012, there was three neighbor kids. These kids were 5, 6, and 7. They ran down the road when the trailer came in, and they've never left. They're show horses with us. The one's a 20-year-old, and he's a pilot. He flies me to my meetings. The other one is, and she wants to be a dentist, and the other one's leaving for Minnesota to be a nurse. They showed with us every year. They help break these horses. One time I'm walking out, and I look out in the paddock, and here's the two girls. They're 8 and 9. No, they're probably 9 and 10 laying on two of our yearlings that we had. They're laying on top of them as they're eating. I walk out, what are you guys doing? Oh, we do this all the time. I'm like, I wonder if these horses were so easy to put collars and harnesses on. These girls broke them for us. Yeah. So They're still here. Elizabeth was here this morning. She comes back on weekends. She got all the horses harnessed for Freeman. And then she has a light horse here that she jumps with. And so she rides him too. So,
how big's your barn?
So we just built this a couple of years ago. We have 13 stalls. We have an indoor arena. We have an upper loft area. I mean, there it is right there. I don't know if you can see it. But there. You guys see down there?
So the upper loft area, it's a breeding. How did you word that?
Well, you know, they don't like you having apartments and barns. And we call it our breeding laboratory. And so we have a full kitchen and shower and bath, and you know, you have to sleep there because it does look down on the foaling stall. So it is very handy, you know, even with cameras, but it's nice to go up there to, you know, stay out of the barn and be quiet, you know. So
how big is the arena?
So that arena is 80 by 100, but then we have our shavings delivered on 53-foot semi, so that cut off about 12 foot or 14 foot of the one end, but we can turn the 6 around in there. And it's really for round penning and rainy day doing work with the horses. And then we walk through that to get to our turnouts. So.
Just a I just was there actually Madison sale time, and it's just incredible. Everything is well thought out. The outdoor arena is basically to size the Indiana State Fair's ring.
Yeah,
super cool spot.
Yeah, because Nelson Schrock redid his barn in addition a couple of years ago, and Joe did his years before that. So I copied what they did right and fixed what they did wrong. So it worked out very well for us to have those guys to lean on. I mean, we kind of knew what worked and didn't work at the old farm, but those guys have been in a million barns. And Stephanie Ruppel, you know, she's been around. Bonnie Detweiler's been around. So we did spend a lot of time discussing and laying out and measuring, and, you know, so we like it. You know, we've probably been out here 2 years, and it's worked out well.
Fan of cranberry pie, are you?
What's that?
Fan of cranberry pie, are you?
Oh yeah. so friends of ours, I named one of my horses after my up north mother. They raised or what do you call harvest cranberries in the bogs, and so Kathy made Kyle the cranberry pie recipe. And at first, people are like, "I don't eat cranberries." Well, yeah, have this.
I was a little skeptical when we got some special cranberry pie here. And I was thinking, cranberry pie? I've never heard of that before. And until you taste it, then you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
that's a Wisconsin thing, obviously. So it's a, you know, Kathy made a home-cooked meal for Kyle driving across the country for us. So, yeah.
That was fantastic. Unreal.
Yeah.
You got a real community around there, obviously, with a whole bunch of people. you guys get together on weekends and do different things. I mean, everybody's barn has a little bar area, and
yeah,
you also have even Olympic curlers. You're in the curling, even the Olympic curlers hang out at the barn, right?
Yeah, we're very fortunate. I mean, I know you guys know this. The draft horses are part of it. The people are the majority of it. It is, it's been life-altering for our crew, our family, and then how it just evolves. You know, it's just people love to stop out, and I figured out we're in a hurry. You got to keep working. If someone, they come to talk, you better be walking with me, because, you know, if you got 4, 5, 8 stalls to do, and you're trying to get horses harnessed and so, and then some friends of ours brought out some Olympic curlers. We're very fortunate to have two brother-sister Olympic curlers in Wright McFarland. And when they're right now, those two are in Sweden. We were just watching their matches this morning in the barn. We air play it up on our TV. But they come out here in their free time, and they handle the horses. They clean like crazy. They get us organized, build signs for all the stalls. And that's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we call her Becca.com, and she sets up all our IT, sets up our ring camera. She set up Nelson and Stephanie's barn and all their TVs. And then just everyone that helped me get into this, you know, from Keith Kulo to Matt and Lori Reichert, who are Percheron people, to Pam and Gary Druick, who are Belgian people. It's been phenomenal. I mean, everyone rolls up their sleeves to help you, and we're kind of turning around and helping them when they need it too. And the people are incredible, you know, and the fun we have. We do carry on. We start going to these shows. I'm a partner in a brewery up here. We bring a half barrel of beer with us and a kegerator. So we wheel into a show. We have that in our tack stall. You know, then the Baines heard about that. I could see them reaching through their stalls, grabbing our half barrel of beer. And so, and we bring a smoker with us, and Kevin Kulo, he drives our semis. My brother and Kevin take care of all the cooking. We carry a smoker and a Blackstone grill, and, you know, they handle all that. And then, you know, Ken Airgood and Sonia, they're just wonderful people. And actually, how I met them, my very first time going into the ring with a cart, I didn't have a clue. I mean, you know, someone just pointed me to the direction of the ring, and here I go. My horse is going crazy, flipping out, and Ken Airgood, I didn't know him, never met him, comes out of nowhere, grabs the horse. He goes, "What's going on?" I said, "I have no idea." He goes, "Well, how tight's your curb chain?" Curb chain. I'm looking down by the tires, like for a curb. He goes, no, this thing, I don't know. So Ken Airgood adjusts my curb chain, and away we went. So that's how I met Ken and Sonia. I mean, that is just how this industry works, and he saved my life. So, yeah. So they've done a wonderful job.
Oh man, that's great. Recently just bought a new harness at the Pika last fall, right?
I did. So we had Dick Samoski's harness. We still have it. And you know, we just thought if an opportunity came up to buy, you know, move up in harness and move up in horses, we're going out of our comfort zone basically. And I talked to Dan Shanahan, and, you know, before I did this, and how much new ones were and lead times and all that. And then, you know, we just,
well, it all kind of started at the Boone County Fair when Joe Detweiler's belt had to put some harness together in the middle of a 6-horse hitch class.
We lost a strap on one of the tugs, and the ring man, who happens to be our truck driver, stopped us. You know, we didn't want to stop Joe Detweiler. You know, typical thing, everyone jumps over a fence. He whips his belt off, puts it back through, and away we kept going. And we're like, okay, this harness is getting tired. And then Kyle happened to be there to watch that disaster. So, But Joe Detweiler did save us. So.
Yeah. Have you had the new harness on yet?
We have not, but I think Freeman's already cleaned it 3 times, so it's ready to go. So we'll probably do the Setnamide parade. It's a big Stoughton Norwegian holiday here, middle of May, and we'll start fitting, you know, the horses, and we'll probably use it for that. And then we do a Memorial Day parade. We do the Cottage Grove parade. Then our season starts in Jefferson in July, so we'll get some use out of it.
How many shows will you go to this year?
Yeah, so we might do some more. We plan on going to the World Show, and we might go to Springfield after Boone or skip Boone, or we were looking at Indiana. So hopefully do 4 or 5 shows this year, plus our parades. You know, we do three or four parades a year also, but we also do wedding rides or bank rides or other stuff too. We fill in here and there.
The Redrive Podcast is supported by the Draft Horse Journal, the world's foremost heavy horse publication, now celebrating 60 years of quarterly releases since 1964. If you work, breed, exhibit, pull, log, trade, or simply admire heavy horses, the journal should be coming to your mailbox. Visit drafthorsejournal.com to subscribe today.
So go ahead, Kyle.
Just you like to share the horses with the community and with people, and is that kind of the goal behind some of it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it started a couple of years ago. We had a friend call us and said his mother's in a nursing home. They're about to move her to Alzheimer's ward. Can you come give her a ride? I said, yeah, I'll be there Friday. So we did that. And then one of the guys, Ernie and Michelle Garvey, or Shipbach, they have a horse here. His mother was in her 90s, had cancer. And Ernie goes, hey, can we give her a ride in the next 3 months at the nursing home? Next 3 months, we're going Wednesday. And she died probably 2 weeks later. And we just did it again for a 90-year-old at a nursing home. And these people love that. I mean, we park the horse there. And the ones that can walk come out. The ones that are in wheelchairs, we bring the horse up to them. That's a big deal. It's fun for us. It gets our horses on the streets, too. And so we do that. I've taken horses to schools. You know, I have about 25 nieces and nephews, so I get called to do a lot of things with the horses with them. And so I take them to their schools right downtown Madison. You know, these kids have a heart attack when they see how big they are. But it's a lot of fun for us.
Mm-hmm. That's the best show and tell in history is when we've had to do that a few times. And
Yeah. You are
kids when you can.
Yeah. Yep. That's a fact.
You have like a Leon or something you give rides with, or a carriage, or.
So Dick Samosky built us our big heavy wagon. I mean, this thing's on three quarter ton Ford axles. It's a beast, but we also have a Leon. And then we have a Vis-a-Vis, a carriage. We do that. And we also have a bobsled, and we have another sleigh too, but the Leon is slick to take that out. But when we go to the nursing homes, we bring that Vis-a-Vis, we bring a crown for the person that's riding. We do it all up for them. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
What's kind of a staple on here? We always favorite horse, favorite show, a couple of those things.
Okay. Oh, wow. Favorite horse, obviously that Laser, our gelding that we got, and he's 13 now, you know, he's the one that taught me everything. And what I would do, to back up, I got a dish before I had horses, and I went through every channel on the dish just to see what's on the damn thing. And I found RFD, and here's this guy, absolutely hilarious, yelling at people, training horses. It was Clinton Anderson. And I watched all of his episodes, and I became addicted to it. And I went to one of his seminars before getting horses, and I bought all his DVDs. And when I got home from cancer, I sat and watched these. So I'd go watch one, and by the time I was able to go to the barn, I would grab Laser. You know, he's a yearling. He was 2 years old. And I started round penning. I started, and it didn't work so well on the mares, but it worked good on the geldings. And so Laser really taught me a lot about horsemanship. I mean, he was the one. I would ride him without a bridle or without a bit. I just hook up things. I go down to the bar with him. We would go all over. And so Laser's right up there. And then the horse I got from Joe and Bonnie, you know, the Robin who just had 7 foals. And, you know, we learned a lot. We brought her home. We're all excited. We turn her out without a halter on. And then we couldn't catch her for about a week. So we learned the lesson there, too, you know. So. And as far as shows go, all of them are awesome. Boone County is probably, Illinois is a great one. You know, I went there with Keith before I had horses, and I walked down this aisle when we got there, and these horses' heads are sticking over the stall fronts. And this role was decked out. They had all the green stuff, the signs up, and then this team won everything. They won the six, won the halter, and it was the Hagemans. And these people were a blast to be with. And I said, you know, if we ever get into this, you know, I'm going to try to, you know, do it up like this the Hageman team did. So it was a lot of fun to catch the Hagemans before they just went to the halter. So I really like the, you know, the Boone County Fair. You know, it's a lot of fun down there. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very good. Any advice you can give to any young entrepreneur starting up their business?
Yeah, if you're starting a business, you know, obviously, like I said before, invoice weekly. You know, a lot of guys get busy, you know, electricians busy putting in stuff, or a plumber, they don't invoice, they're in trouble. So you got to get your invoices out, you pay your help, you pay your suppliers, and pay your taxes, and life is good, you know, and you know what your costs are. You know, a buddy of mine started a heating company and ran a call for me, charged me $75. I go, you are losing your ass. He goes, no, I'm just fine. Well, after the first year, oh, Jesus, he had no idea about insurance and overhead and everything else. So, you know, that's my advice. And, you know, that accountant did say, you know, secret to wealth is no debt. So, you know, try not to tap into your line of credit. I know you have to do it sometimes, but just stay on top of it, you know, and don't overpromise and underdeliver, you know, just take care of your customers. And I'm talking, you know, construction wise, you know, it's it worked well for us. But I had a great business partner. Both my partners were just, you know, one of them deals is just you tried to outwork the other guy, you know, and you know, it really, really worked out well.
And so when you built your place, there was a lot of draft horse connections. Obviously you got a lot of ideas from the draft horse people in the area, but Nelson did a lot of the dirt work and the Houston company. And did you have your heating and flooring and stuff? A lot of that was done by some of the Amish that you had met.
Yeah. Yep. So I always joke that Nelson Schrock has spent more of my money than all my ex-wives combined. I mean, that guy, he is responsible. You know, he came to my farm and, you know, the farm came with a little 30 horse tractor. Hey, Jesus Christ, you need a bigger tractor. So now I got a 65 horse tractor with a cab. And now I got a 130 horse cab tractor with a bigger cab. Oh, you need a skid steer? No, I don't. Well, I have a skid steer. You need a semi? He was buying trucks one time at December, and he calls me up. Are you going to get a semi? I said, I have no idea. He goes, if you got one, what would you be looking for? I go, a blue one. I have no idea. Well, next thing I know, I drive up there, and we have a blue semi here in the parking lot. And you need a 12-ton hole. Got that. So, and then he brought me to this farm, and it's an interesting story how we ended up with it. But, you know, you had to put in a pond and all this. Well, where the pond is was 12 feet of sand, and where the arena we wanted to put was 7 feet of clay. So he moved it. So now we have a wet pond that's full of water and koi now, or fish, and we have a beautiful arena. So Nelson really helped us out, and with the layout of the property and, you know, how to turn horses in and out. You know, another guy that's helped us a lot is Jim Ruppel. I became really... Actually, if you got time, I got a great story about Jim Ruppel.
We got all day.
All right. Well, Jim Ruppel, before I go further, I want to thank judges. So whenever I'm at a show, I know I can never be a judge. So I find these judges, men or women, and I run up to them and I thank them after it's all over, because we can't show if they don't judge. Well, first couple times, they were like taken aback. I remember Andrew Stahlheim. He was like, and I shook his hand, and I thought, you're coming to bitch at me about something. and he said, you know, he'll be at Gordyville 2 years later, and someone comes up to him and asks him why they placed him in a halter class. I'm like, oh, my God. So I thank the judges and these people that plan these shows and world shows. It is the work they have to do is off the chart, and the time they put in. I want to thank those people because we can't show unless they put all this stuff together that we never, you know, behind the scenes, we don't see it. Well, Jim Ruppel, and if you're asking me a question about my favorite and worst judge, he's it, both of them. we're my first year showing. It's our third show. We're at Walworth County Fair, and, you know, this thin guy out there with a cowboy hat's the judge. And it's 90-plus degrees, and I'm running Laser, my favorite horse. And, you know, we're lined up, and you got to remember, I don't know Jim Ruppel. And I go up, I line up my horse, and, you know, kind of mumbles at you and points down her. So I start running with my horse and I snap my hamstring. It's like a gun went off inside your head. I don't know if you guys have ever snapped or blown a hamstring. I dropped, I rolled, I'm in the dirt, the dust, the horse is gone, you know, and it's hot and sunny. I am in pain. So all of a sudden I'm looking there and this guy walks up, the sun's behind him. You guys ever watch Outlaw Josie Wales, that, you know, Clint Eastwood movie? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, it's
a great Western. So I'm looking up at this silhouette of this guy and I reach up like he's going to help me up off the ground. Right next to my head with chewing tobacco, and he points to this guy, Buck, grab the horse. We got to finish the class. What the hell? Rupel and this guy named Buck Hageman. Now I know him, you know. Off they go to finish the class. I'm laying there. They finish this class. Then Rupel sends out a ranger. They pick me up, throw me in the ranger like a bale of hay, and off I go, you know. And so Jim Rupel, that guy, you know, he's so we become very good friends, you know, and Jim is all about the horse and all about winning. And then I became very good friends with Buck Hageman also through that. But yeah, that's my claim. But I did talk to Jim a lot because, you know, he's a farrier and a blacksmith, and he's been in a ton of barns and what worked and didn't work. And I've been up to his barn couple of times. If you guys are ever in around, you got to stop in to see his shop, and he takes you out to Stillwally Stills, where you get pork hock and eggs and a Bloody Mary. He just orders everything for you, and so he's a good guy. So he's my favorite and worst judge.
Jim Rupel, watch that guy shoe a horse. There is not one wasted movement. Like there's some. It takes me probably 2.5 hours to shoe a horse, and you watch Jim Rupel and he can do it in about 45 minutes and it looks better than what you can do it. And you're like, how does he do it? But you watch him shoe a horse. There is not one wasted movement. Like it's the foot comes up. It's just, everything's in its spot. It's just, it's like watching just harmony almost. Like it's incredible.
Okay. But and he wants to make a shoe.
And then go make a shoe and it'll fit perfectly.
Yeah.
I run out of a bottle of propane by the time I get the shoe bent. A pre-made shoe that's out, and he takes a chunk of bar stock and makes a shoe better than, you know, it's just crazy.
It's phenomenal. We went up there for Ken Airgood's 60th birthday. Ken wanted to go there and make shoes, and Jim did it with us. And I mean, I could, you know, he hands you the hammer. I hit everything but the lottery. I couldn't hit the shoe. And Jim flips them over and gets the nails and tapers them, and it is impressive to watch. It was a very fun, you know, he's done it with us twice now. It's so it's fluid in there. Just like you said, the forge is here. He's got a hammer machine here, and it's fun to watch. So.
Yeah. And he's 74 years old or something, and he can still shoe a horse.
Well, it's funny. I have all these fence posts here. We have extra fence posts, and he needs fence posts. He goes, "What do I owe you?" I go, "Hind shoes." So he pounds out. Joe Detweiler tells him what he wants, and pounds out these hind shoes, you know, for us. And I'd rather get shoes from Jim Rupel than money. I'll tell you that. Those are like gold. to have that Rupel hind shoe here is a good thing, you know. So he's taught me. It taught us a lot about, you know, I walk around sales with Jim. He's the one that taught me what to look for, what not to look for, what not to get, you know.
We would like to thank Shipshawana Harness and Supply in Shipshawana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshawanaHarness.com. Follow them on Facebook or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshawana Amish country Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs.
And then Robert Detweiler is another guy that's really helped us out. So my first foaling experience. So Joe and I, we've gone on tours, you know, to Ohio, to Missouri, to wherever, looking at horses, getting horse. So we hauled 8 horses for his brother Henry from Kansas City back to Hazleton, Iowa, get there at midnight, 12 below zero, get to Robert's house, and have a few beers and tell stories with Robert. I'm just getting to know Robert. He goes, "Hey, we might be foaling tonight." And I said, "Hey, I've never foaled. Wake me up." Like an hour later, Robert starts foaling. It's 12 below. I get up and I run out there. It was perfect. I mean, who better to the knowledge Robert Detweiler has, the detail Robert Detweiler has, the calmness that he does not have to teach you how to foal a horse was. It was, I loved it. I do some of the things today that he told me that night 14 years ago or whatever it was, 12 years ago or something. So Robert has really helped us a lot too. You know, to, you know, get to meet him and stay with him and his Joe and he stories are incredible. I mean, just to listen to those two.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. They had quite the upbringing with his, their dad getting all them sail horses in, and sure, they had a few orangutans every now and then, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Joe would say, they were saying that a truck would pull in with 30 horses. They'd unload them, and each boy would get five horses and, you know, go break them. Or so I went to Mr. Detweiler's house with Joe one time, and Mrs. Detweiler's there. We were there 3 hours, and those two talked about horses for 3 hours, Joe and his dad. Who was bred to who is this? And finally, Mr. Detweiler looks at me, "How do you know him?" And Joe goes, "Well, he, Tom Duffy here just bought some horses up in Lamberton, Minnesota. And he's, who are your horses?" And, you know, and I named them, and Joe goes, "That's the breeder up there." And they're talking about other stories. And Alan looks at me, goes, "Well, your breeder's not from there. He's from Florida." Joe goes, "Dad, he went to Minnesota. The breeder's up there." I'm just telling you, the breeder's in Florida. So, you know, they kept talking. I get my phone out and look up my registration papers. Ah, the breeder's in Florida. Yeah, Mr. Detweiler. I mean, it was just phenomenal. And I knew that guy knows horses. It was very impressive to sit there and listen to these two talk about horses and breeding and who and this and that. So we're there 3 hours. As we're leaving, Mr. Detweiler finally said to Joe, "How are the boys doing?" it was all horses until that point.
So. How many grandkids would Alan Detweiler have?
So, you know, we went to the funeral and Freeman and so I went down to the funeral with Wayne Houston, Mark Houston, Paul Goplin, Nelson Schrock, and Stephanie. And we got there and Freeman and Rudy sat next to me and I got the pamphlet of the announcement of the funeral on the back of it. I go, "Freeman, do you know how many cousins you have?" He goes, "I do not." "Well, you have 103 cousins because you two are 104 and 105. They 105 grandchildren. It was 58 great grandchildren. Then it said we've stopped counting underneath that. So it was impressive. Yeah, it was. So that was something else.
Yep.
Oh, this is great. Anything else you want to add, Tom?
I don't know. I mean, you guys brought up a lot of great memories of, you know, 12 years being in the draft horse, owning draft horses. And I kind of was hanging around Keith Kulo for 2 years before that. So it's, you know, the people, you know, meeting all you guys and talking horses and just teaching us, you know, I ask a lot of questions and people are always willing to share with me what works, what doesn't work. And I tell people to straight talk us. You know, if we're going to have a crash or get killed or something, they know to step in and help us. we've been super fortunate, you know, not only where we live and having these great horsemen and horsewomen around us. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's just.
Really, you know, seems like all your life in business and horses, you've surrounded yourself with some great people. And I think that is a testament to you, but also probably a testament to a lot of the success you've had and everything you've done.
Yeah, the secret of business, too, I should say, is get great people around you. You know, if you don't know it, get someone, you know, find out who knows it or how to do it and just surround yourself with, you know, I'm the second youngest of seven kids. So I got to watch what my brothers and sisters did right and wrong and figured out, you know, I've got to learn from them, you know, so that worked out really well. And I was an Army brat. All of us, my dad was in the Army. My oldest couple brothers were also in the Army. So we, you know, it's a hardworking, disciplined family, that's for sure. But we had a lot of fun, you know, just growing up, and we still do, obviously. So it's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good.
We appreciate you getting on with us, and it's just been awesome to hear your story. I think there's a lot of people that will probably curl up in a ball and just quit, and you decided to get right after things. So,
well, you know who gave me advice was Jim Poole. Jim Poole was judging at Walworth, and I didn't know him. I didn't know the Baines. Baines didn't have horses there. We got done. That was our first year having a six. We came out with our six in 2014. And, you know, we didn't know shit, you know. We had six harness and we had six horses, so let's go, you know. And so Jim Poole got done, and he goes, I got to go find that blue wagon, people. So Jim Poole comes over. You know, he's all dressed up. He's got his big watch on, you know. I go, oh, Judge, thank you for judging. And he goes, I need to talk to you guys. I'm like, oh, shit. You know, now what do we do? And he goes, how old are your swing horses? I go, are those the middle ones? He goes, yes, those are the middle ones. I go, those are two-year-olds. Two-year-olds? No one hooks two-year-olds. And I said, well, I'm not that far through the DVD set yet. I don't know. So he shakes my hand. He looks me right in the eye. He goes, there's 200 people here. There's probably 100 horses, and there was only three sixes. Keep doing it. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. You'll get better despite yourself. And he said, and he did. And I thanked him. And for him to come find us. And now I've been to his house with Joe and picking up horses and this and that. He always talks about that, you know. And that was great advice from and I had no idea who he was and what he meant to the whole Clydesdale world and the horse industry. And so that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. So. Those are the middle ones.
And those two horses are here. So Hammer, I got from Todd Knorr, is the lead in our eight and our six. And then Robin, we retired her. That was Kathy's cart horse and all that too. So
yeah, shout out to Kathy too. I'm sure she's a pretty big part of what you got going on.
Oh, beyond. Yeah. I mean, you know, people come here, we're on the show, the magic oven, the food just appears, but she does the halter class. She drives the women's cart. She won the novice four. I said to Logan, you got to ride with Kathy in the novice four. He goes, why is that? I go, we'll kill each other. You go up there. So Logan jumps on the wagon and she wins the thing. So thank God that Logan Bain did that for us. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not about 310 by the way she cooks.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time cleaning stalls and running horses, so but we eat very healthy, so that, you know, obviously cancer's a scare too, but yeah, we do eat very healthy, but a lot. Yeah, we definitely eat a lot. So, yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, Tom, and sharing the story and your way you got into it. It's very interesting and been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. Thank you guys for doing this. I the first one I listened to was the one from Dr. Scott Navardal and Gary, and what a hoot. I mean, listening to their whole story, and I text Kyle, I go, hey, what did they crash in? I mean, they crash in a stagecoach going into the arena. I'm like, oh my gosh. And actually, Gary and Lisa just stayed here during the Madison Stale, and we sat up till 2 a.m. talking and, you know, really getting to know them and their history. And I just went to Arthur, Illinois last weekend with Nelson to drop off a stallion that he sold to his family. And Nelson drove me all over Arthur, you know, pointing out his grade school, is where he grew up, where he got his first kiss. I had to see all that stuff. Driving around. And then we go to the Chris Jess's farm, and half my horses are breedings from, you know, Chris's whole operation. So then Chris took us around and looked at horses. I mean, Arthur, Illinois, I've never been there. I mean, every farm's got 20 to 30 horses, that it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's impressive. And, so that was interesting getting to Arthur. Well, when I went with Joe and Robert Detweiler one time in February looking at horses, my teeth are chattering. We're 8 hours going to six different barns, and those two never talk when the horses are out. You get in the truck, you hear it all, right? And I learned in Iowa, whether it's in February or July 4th, I'm wearing long under, sweatshirt, hood, because you're looking at horses for 10 hours straight, you know? So, and it's a lot of fun doing that and just meeting these people and their stories, and, you know, their Amish way of life and everything. So, it's a good time.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Tom, again for getting on. We appreciate it. I think you'll probably have to get on again someday. We'll have you on for a round table or something.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll get my brother Matt involved with that and Kathy probably. And they would love to dive into that. Well, thank you guys for doing this. It's great for the industry, obviously. And now I know how to listen. I've never ordered anything online. I don't do anything. So I listened to the first podcast of my life was what you just sent me, Kyle. So now I'm going to start listening to these and watching these. And it'll be pretty cool.
Our downloads will go up, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Much if I post one of them, yeah, it'll probably go
great. Give us a 5-star review. That'll help.
All right. Get them rolling. I know how to do it now. Kathy already, she hooked it up to our sound system here. So we can figure out how to do that. So that's impressive.
Sweet deal.
All right, you guys. Have a great day.
Have a great
day. Thanks, Tom.
See you later.
Yeah. Bye.
The Smith family has been in the meat snack business since 1975. There are now 4 generations of Smiths working with Glenwood Snacks. Glenwood Beef Jerky is made with solid pieces of 100% premium beef and smoked with real wood smoke. Their jerky is in high protein, low in calories, and darn good to eat. Also, look out for new lines of meat sticks. Look for the Double S Belgians, the equine ambassadors of Glenwood Beef Jerky, at a show near you. Browse our many flavors of 100% beef jerky, signature meat sticks, and snack bundles at glenwoodsnacks.com. Follow on Facebook, Instagram, or by calling 208-624-9851. Orders over $50 ship for free. Glenwood Snacks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you drop by our Reinhold Tack and Western Wear mailbag, podcast@naclassicseries.com. Once again, podcast@naclassicseries.com. Any questions or feedback you might have, we would love to hear from you. I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great week, and we'll see you down the road.